our God is limitless, boundless. He's infinite in power, God of the impossible. I'll put my trust in such a God, the everlasting I am. Amen. Hey, good morning and welcome to South Street Baptist Church in Greenwich, London. Hey, today is Sunday, another day that we want to glorify the name of God. I believe that God has put a message in my heart that will bless each one of you. And this message really has helped me to understand where we are as a church and as a local church. And I believe that if you also get this message, it will help you to know where we are and where we are going. It is incredible, it's powerful, and I want you to make up your mind. Today I pray that every home will experience the peace of God right now. I pray that our minds will be opened. I pray that the Spirit of God will move our hearts into action, even as the Spirit of God dwells in you, in your home, so that you can experience His presence, and that every storm will be calmed and every message of joy will be celebrated by the whole family. I thank God for this in Jesus' name. Today I have two objectives that I would like you to hear. The objectives are these. First, the importance of reading the Bible, receiving revelation and acting on it to experience the presence and the power of God. The second objective is to help you to know how the Word of God is activated to become revelation. And when revelation is acted upon, releases supernatural power in our life. Now, today, I have two Bible verses that I'll bring to you. I'll dwell a lot on the first Bible verse for now, and then we'll pick up the other one. These Bible verses are Luke chapter 21, verse 33. Write it down. Luke chapter 21, verse 33. And Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Now, I thought today I should give you a summary of what I want you to know well in advance, so that I want you to understand well in advance, so that you can journey with me as we go on. Now, the summary of what I'm going to talk about is this, that the Word of God is God Himself. Inherent in the Word of God is who God is, His nature. We're talking about His love, His compassion, His peace, His salvation, His deliverance, His healing power. His nature is inherent in His Word. The Word of God also works with the Holy Spirit, where the Holy Spirit has to move to bring this Word of God alive, to be used in the now. That means whenever the Holy Spirit of God moves over the Word of God, it brings the Word of God, the nature of God, who God is, here and now. It brings it alive, because inherent in the Word of God is life. And when it brings it across, then when we use it, we've got to use it in the now. It brings the Word of God alive. And when this happens, that means He, the Holy Spirit, releases the power of God for supernatural activities. So if you want to see supernatural activities, the Word of God must come alive. And when the Word of God comes alive by the Holy Spirit, then you act upon it and God will back you up. Now, I want us to talk about the written and the spoken word. The written and the spoken word. So I'll pick up from our first Bible reading, which is Luke chapter 21, verse 33. I'm reading from the New International Version, UK version, the Anglicized version. So please, you can join me right there where you are. And I'm reading, it said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. This is a bold and powerful statement made by Jesus Christ Himself. But as I reflect on this, it dawned on me that He, Jesus, was bringing something very deep, which when we get it, will change the way we see God and view Scripture and change our lives as a result. Everything has a finality. Even COVID-19, coronavirus, and lockdown will come to an end. But God's word will never pass away. Everything has a finality, but God's word will never pass away. God's word will never pass away because the word of God, or the word is God. Because the word is God, and God is eternal. Humanity will always need the word of God in our lives and for our existence. This is how Apostle John put it to help us to understand the word of God. And I'm reading from John chapter 1, verse 1 to 5, from the New King James Version. John chapter 1, verse 1 to 5, right now. I'm reading what Apostle Paul put it, how he put it. He said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and darkness did not comprehend it, or has not overcome it. Hallelujah. We see here that from what Apostle Paul, John is writing, that from verse 2 to 4, we see the word of God personified. Now suddenly, he started saying, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Then he said, he was in the beginning. So the word is now being personified, being made alive here, that the word was the word as the author of creation, probably millions of years ago. Hear me. Probably creation took place millions of years ago, and all things came into being because of the word. All things came into being because of the word. Nothing happened by chance or accident in creation. Even what we might call the movement of atoms and the resulting Big Bang and the dispersal of planets and the solar system just didn't happen by chance, but by the word of God. That is why Apostle John is saying in John chapter 1, verse 3, all things were made through him. Verse 4 tells us that in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The word is a carrier of life. So the word of God carries life. It's a carrier of life. It has to be made flesh, like John chapter 1, verse 14 will tell us, to dwell inside us. If it carries life, then it's got to come alive, so it will dwell inside you. The word contains life that can be revealed to give light, revelation to humanity in all circumstances. The word does that. Once the light of the word is revealed to you, you have to shine it into every and any darkness. And the darkness will not overcome it. The darkness will appear completely. Once the word shines to you, the word is revealed to you, it shines on your heart, and you've got to shine it on every situation that you are not comfortable with, every situation that is working against you, and it will disappear. But you first need the word of God to come alive to you. Otherwise, it becomes words. We need a revelation of the word in questions of life, so we will bring it alive and use it to change situations that faces us. The word should be relevant in the now. The word should not be a historical word. It should not be a futuristic word. The word of God should be in the now. And then we can see how we use it for the future. Psalm 119 verse 105 tells us that thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Yes, the word of God should be your lamp, now word, where you are, now word, and your light, that is your future word, where you are going. The word of God should be your now word and your future word. In other words, to demonstrate the power of God, we need revelation of the word in the now and for the future. There are two words that explains the word of God, Logos and Rhema. Logos is the written word of God, which from Genesis to Revelation was inspired by the Holy Spirit. According to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, said the word of God is God's breath, inspired by the Holy Spirit. So we should get that the word of God is inspired. It is when it is inspired that it becomes good for correction, good for teaching, good for healing, good for all the things that we do. Otherwise, it will remain the word of God. Otherwise, it will remain logos. So logos need to be inspired by the Holy Spirit. The written word, which is logos, is the basis of our faith. We need that. The foundation of our doctrine and the core of our belief system. A rhema, on the other hand, is the spoken word of God for today, for a specific situation. The word becomes rhema when we make a declaration of faith, that we decree an order according to his word, full of power of the Holy Spirit. Rhema, in other words, or rhema is this, that is thus the logos revealed in the now. That the logos revealed in the now is rhema. So rhema is the logos that has been revealed to you in the now, that you speak it into situation. When Jesus was resurrected from the dead, he said to his disciples, or he said about his disciples, that they had not as yet understood scripture, according to John 20 verse 9. In other places, we read that he expounded scripture to them, according to Luke chapter 24 verse 27 and 32. Now we see that the Bible is the word of God, but the Spirit is the one who reveals it and manifests it with his power. The Spirit reveals it and manifests it with his power. This means we need both the Logos, the written word, and the Holy Spirit to receive revelation from God, so that we can put the rhema, the spoken word, into action. The Holy Spirit needs to move upon the written word that we have read, to bring revelation, to reveal it, to make it alive, to make it flesh for us, so that we can catch something. And once we get that revealed word, then we speak it into action. That is rhema. If we practice only one aspect of our knowledge of the word, then if we only practice one aspect of our knowledge of the Lord, then we will be unbalanced. Yes? Or put it this way, if we only read the word of God and do not put it in action, do not allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us, to release it in a powerful way, to bring it into action in our lives, our faith becomes unbalanced. We become unbalanced Christians. Focusing on the Logos alone is information and knowledge. And information and knowledge alone of the word is referred to as the letter. It's referred to as the letter. It will not make you a minister of the new covenant by the Spirit, as Apostle Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses, because the letter kills. If you are only reading the Bible without revelation or by the Holy Spirit to put it in action, then you are taking information. You are taking knowledge. A lot of people know Bible. A lot of people know scriptures. A lot of people know passages by heart. A lot of people can quote verses by heart. That is knowledge. That is information. But what do we do with it? Because when they face situation, the verses that they know is meaningless to them because it is not filled with the power of God. It hasn't become revelation. It hasn't become rhema. So they cannot speak into their situation and they fall apart. And I have seen this during this time of pandemic, that even a lot of Christians falling apart because they are full of knowledge and information, but they could not apply it in their lives. They live in fearful lives and they locked down, just like we all are. The problem here is that people study the letter of the Bible, but not the living word. Yes, underline that, not the living word. They end up interpreting the Bible instead of allowing the Holy Spirit to bring revelation, building up of faith for activation and manifestation. You see, I have studied a bit about the Bible, and I've been to Bible schools, and I've been to seminaries, and I know that we are taught how to interpret the Bible. We are never taught how to allow the Holy Spirit to move in us in a powerful way, to bring revelation so that we can speak into situation, rhema, to change situation. I'll give an example. Let us look at the Pharisees during Jesus' time, the Sadducees and the scribes, and sometimes some pastors and men and women of God and Christians in this generation. You see, Jesus was not a fan of some of these group of people because they were religious. Religious, they stuck to the letter or the test of the word. Therefore, anything Jesus does to bring alive the word, bring alive the rhema, was offensive to them. Each time we stick only to the letter, we get offended when supernatural things happen, when miracles happen, when healing happens, when people are cast out, when demons are cast out, when the Holy Spirit come upon people and they begin to speak with new tongues, we become offended, become uncomfortable. Therefore, anything Jesus does to bring alive the word of God was offensive to them. Miracles was offensive to them. Healing was offensive to them. Casting out of demons was offensive to them. Signs and wonders were offensive to them because they could not be interpreted. You can't interpret healing. You cannot interpret casting out of demons. You cannot interpret signs and wonders. And therefore, they became offended. Interpretation only appeals to the mind and not the supernatural. And when we get revelation and we speak the rhema, supernatural things happen, things beyond our imagination. Let me give you a second example. About 10 years ago, I had some friends, who were Christians, some were pastors. They visited me in my house. And one of these pastors, was looking through my bookshelf, and he was picking books and asking me questions and everything, especially the theology one, the systemic theology, this and this and that. And we were talking. Then I pointed a small book, about maybe about 200 pages, to him. And I said, this book has revolutionized my thinking about some of the things that we believe. It's given me so much revelation, and I wanted him to look at it. He looked at it briefly, and he put it down. And his response was that this is not scholarly enough. At that time, he was doing his master's at one of the top, universities, Bible colleges in this country. He put it down. I was thinking, he didn't get what I got 10 years ago. He didn't get revelation. It was not scholarly enough. You see, when you're in the seminary, you are taught how to debate. You are taught doctrines. That means, oh, these people believe this about the Bible. This is the view of other people's. Listen, then you write essays about them. You thought theology, people's view about God. You are not thought about revelation. When we talk about revelation in the seminaries, I'm not knocking it, but I just want you to know that we are filled with information. That is why when we come, we cannot demonstrate the move of the Spirit in the now. It is dangerous for Christians to be full of the letter of Scripture, but empty of the revealed Word of God, because the letter can destroy any move of the Spirit in you. You end up getting to the I don't believe this, I don't agree with that, I am not comfortable with that, what is going on stage. You get to that stage, you don't believe anything, you're not comfortable with anything, you don't agree with anything because it has not appealed to your mind. It is supernatural, my brother, my sister. The Word of God, when it is revealed and when it's inspired by the Holy Spirit, it is supernatural. It does something. It changes your mind, your thought patterns, your character. When you find yourself in this state, you should know that you are in stagnation. When you get to the point of, I don't believe in tongues, I don't believe in miracles, I don't believe all those things going on, you are in stagnation. You are, and nothing is happening, Christian. God wants us to be hungry for Scripture, to be open to us, the Logos becoming Rhema. Instead of searching and talking about the Scripture. In fact, the Apostle Paul wrote about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 20. He said, the kingdom of God, NIV version, the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk. It's not words, but it's of power. The kingdom of God is the demonstration of God's power, not just words and what we know. God wants you to be hungry, and that is what God wants you to be. In other words, to demonstrate the power of God, we need a revelation of the Word of God in the now. Now, I want to talk about the second part of my message today. I believe it's going to help you, and it's helping you already. The Logos, that is the written Word, need activation to become the Rhema. I've talked about it has to be activated, but it needs activation. So how does the Logos get activated? That is what I want to bring to your attention. And I want you to turn your Bible to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 to 4. I'm reading from the New King James Version. It says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, 'Let there be light,' and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated light from the darkness." Hear this. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And I told you not too long ago that the Word of God creates. The Word of God has creative power, that nothing came into being just by chance. So in the beginning, the written Word, God created the heavens and the earth. And it was formless. It was empty. And for all that we see here on this earth came because the Word of God was spoken. The Rhema became, the Logos became Rhema. And when it was spoken, it separated darkness. So each time we speak the Word of God, darkness, powers of evil, demonic activities need to give way to our God and to what you are saying. But what I want you to underline in your Bible is this. It said, "And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters." You see, it was formless, it was void, full of water. And the Spirit of God moved, hovered over the waters. And when it hovered over the waters, then a voice was heard, "Let there be light." And there was light. So we need, so how to activate the Logos is to ask the Holy Spirit to hover upon the words that you are reading, hover upon the words that you are meditating upon, to bring life into it. And when it brings life into it, it touches your soul, it touches your marrow, it inspires you, and you just can't hold it to yourself. You want to share it, you want to do something with it. Do something with what God has given you. So it is the move of the Holy Spirit that releases the Word for creative power. This creative power releases light and separates it from darkness. It destroys the works of the evil one and establishes the kingdom of God wherever we are. I thought to repeat that so that in case you didn't get it, you can get it right now. You see, let's talk about the prophets here. The prophets were activated by the Holy Spirit. That means the Holy Spirit inspired them. The Holy Spirit moved in them. The Holy Spirit hovered in them to bring the written Word of God out as Rhema, and things happen. In other words, or what I'm trying to say, the prophets really, the reason why they spoke is that the Holy Spirit spoke to them. The Holy Spirit activated the written Word of God in them. And then when they opened their mouth and spoke the Rhema, things did happen. These prophets, which they had seen the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, like we see in our day, the Holy Spirit would just come upon them on occasions, activate the Word, and they spoke the Word. So it activated the Logos, they spoke the Rhema, and some things happened. Wonderful things happened. So for that reason, if I was one of those prophets at the time, like Elijah and Elisha, likewise, I would say, "God, I want the Spirit every day, every hour, every minute upon me, so that I'll be activated and speak like they did." You see, because each time they were inspired by the Holy Spirit and spoke, things happened. Things like mountains were shifting, the dead were being raised, sick people were being healed, miracles were happening, signs and wonders happened, and that was exciting moment. Just like in our church, it is so exciting because we see people pray for people, they get healed. We see signs and wonders happen. We see miracles happen, and that is exciting. We want more. We want more. They wanted more of what we see right now. And we are in a dispensation that the Holy Spirit is released in a powerful way. So let's use him to activate the Word of God and not just read them. When you are at this point, when the Logos has been activated by the Holy Spirit into Rhema, you speak with confidence and assurance, and the things you hope for becomes a reality. Your faith in God is built up. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1 says, "Faith is the confident assurance of the things we hope for, things we do not see, yet we speak them into being, and they come into being." You see, some of you have known me for several years. And I said, there's some level of confidence that has come to me, or conviction that has come into me, simply because the Holy Spirit is activating the Logos in me. And as it activates the Logos in me, it stirs up my heart, and I begin to speak about things, and I see them happening. This is the point when manifestation happens. So when you begin to speak, that is when manifestation happens. Let me take you through the Logos, the Word of God, the written Word of God. You read it, you allow the Holy Spirit to move it, it brings revelation, revealed knowledge to you, it stirs your heart up, and you begin to speak. And when you speak, things come into being. That is what we mean by manifestation. Manifestation is the tangible and visible proof of that revelation that you have got from the Holy Spirit. You speak into being the revelation you have got, and things that are not coming to being. People these days are powerless because they read and know the Word of God, but I'll just repeat myself. People these days are powerless because they read and know the Word of God, but there is no Holy Spirit activity in them to manifest the presence and the power of God. The Apostle Paul knew that for sure. When he was in Athens, he was speaking, arguing, because they were philosophers, they were scholars, and people used the words of God. And people used the words that they knew to mesmerize people. And he thought he can use the word of God that way also to contend their argument. And at one point he said, "What is this babbler saying?" Nobody even understood him, and not many people became Christian or understood him, or even gave their lives to Christ or saw the miracles. So when he, walked about another an hour and a half drive to Corinth, there he said that, you know what, now my gospel is not going to be based on the knowledge, understanding, and wisdom of men, but it's going to be based on the power of God, so that your faith will be based on the power of God. That means he would like to see demonstration of the power of God, so that our faith will be there. That is 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4 and 5. They are full of talking. People who only stick with logos, they are full of talking. They are full of theology. They are full of knowledge. They are full of information and motivation. But the Word of God is not meant for motivation, but a demonstration of power to meet real needs, shift mountains, and dispel the works of the evil one. Let me introduce you to the second Bible verse we started with, to help us focus our minds a bit. As I finish, we shall continue this message next week, as I'm coming to an end shortly. And Hebrews chapter 12, chapter 4, verse 12, it says, "For the word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. I'm reading from New King James Version. The Word of God is living, or is alive and powerful. It is active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing or penetrating even to the division of the soul and spirit, and joint and marrow. That means it's got to get into your being, and it's a discerner of the thoughts and intent, or the attitude of the heart. So today, in my conclusion, this message, as I said, I'm going to continue next week. So it's important that you hear this. Today we are speaking about the Word, the Spirit, and the power. The Word, the Spirit, and the power. Jesus said, in Luke chapter 21, verse 33, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away." The Word of God has to be activated by the Holy Spirit to give us revelation. Once we have a revelation of the Word, we have to speak it into being in our situation and anything facing us. This is when the presence of God is released and it flows into every void and dark situation, and the power of God is released for miracles. Hey, shall we say amen and amen to this? Amen. Now, I cannot read the Word of God without demonstrating it. So it's very, very important that we demonstrate the Word of God. But then some of you have listened to me right now and haven't listened to me. You'll be thinking, "What is this babbler saying? I don't even understand what it means by the word of God. I said the word of God is God. It's God himself, and it must come alive. Maybe you don't know this God, you don't know this Jesus, and you'll be wondering, what can I do? The Bible tells that God has another sheep that he wants to bring in the fold, according to John chapter 10. God wants to bring you into this fold. God wants you to bring you to join all those active Christians, all those Christ followers, all those disciples. And for you to be joined to that, you have to recognize that you are a sinner. You got to recognize that you cannot save yourself. You got to recognize that you cannot get a revelation if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, unless God choose to, by his own providence and his own sovereignty, give you revelation. You may not even understand scripture. You read it and you become nothing. But God said we have to recognize we are sinners. We are sinners because we are far from God. We are sinners because we've gone our own way. We are sinners because we do not embrace God. We are independent from God. We are sinners because God is not priority for us. We are sinners because we do wrong thing or sinful things, things that does not glorify God. So today God wants to set you free from that and want to forgive you of your sin nature. So today, if you would like to give your life to Jesus Christ, I would like you to pray this prayer after me. Heavenly Father, I recognize that I'm a sinner and that my sin separates me from you. I repent of all my sins and confess Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I believe with all my heart that God the Father raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and come into my life today. The day I die, when I open my eyes, I'll be in your arms. Amen. Hey, my brother, my sister, if you've said this prayer after me, God bless you. God has accepted you. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And today, if you were to die and you open your eyes, you'll be with the Lord. Now, I want to also pray for a group of people to help you to pray, and I want you to be with me. And also, the prayer that I want you to pray is that maybe you have spent all your time reading the Bible, or maybe, and you haven't got any inspiration or revelation from it, or for some of you, you have not even spent enough time to read the Bible as you ought to. I want you to ask God and tell God that, God, I repent of this attitude for not reading the Bible as I ought to. I'm sorry. I want you to come into my life. I want to give you that chance to pray for yourself. Ask the Holy Spirit to bring revelation of Scripture to build up your faith. Ask the Holy Spirit to bring revelation of Scripture to build up your faith. First, you are repenting for not having spent time or enough time to read the Word of God as you should. You are asking the Holy Spirit to bring revelation of Scripture to build up your faith. I'll just give you a few seconds to pray this prayer faithfully. And if you pray and you believe, this God is faithful and he is just and is willing to forgive you and to release his Spirit into your life. Now, even as you are praying, I also want to pray for you. Father, I pray for all those who heard this message today. I pray for your sons and daughters, those who have given their life to Christ, and those who are praying right now, asking for forgiveness, for not having spent enough time to search the Scriptures, for the Scriptures to be open to them, for the Spirit of God to move in their lives, and for them to receive revelation. Father God, I pray that today open their eyes that they can see. For you, Jesus said, people have eyes, but they are blind. Father, open our eyes that we can see. Open our hearts that we can perceive. Help us to embrace the Holy Spirit to reveal your supernatural presence and power that is inherent in the Logos, so I become Rhema and become manifestation for us. Father God, I pray that even as you do that, Father God, release in us the confidence to to be able to speak into situations so that signs and wonders and miracles will be performed by our hands. Thank you, Jesus Christ. Amen. Hey, God bless you for this morning, and I pray that this will be the beginning of something powerful, something new, and something supernatural in your life. Thank you, and God bless you. Amen.